form of the church anyway. And am I not switched on? This is on. It wasn't me. It was muted. But I'm sure I didn't mute it. Sorry, start again. Good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone. Lovely to see you all and lovely to have a couple of visitors who I'm not managing to spot just now, but I met on the way in. We've got one visitor who has come all the way from America, and she's hiding in there. Lovely to see you. And one who has come all the way from Carluk. So it's lovely to welcome all our visitors, both our visitors, and everyone who comes on a regular basis. It's always good to see folk coming together to worship God, and especially the most important people in the church who sit at the front. That's you guys. But I'll speak to you a wee bit more in a minute or two. Few intimations, in fact, quite a lot of intimations. Most of them are printed on the order of service. I would draw your attention to the Macmillan Coffee Morning in Carnwath Bowling Club on Saturday the 21st, and the Fourth Development Trust meeting, providing a lot of information and raising money for the defibrillator appeal, and that's Tuesday the 24th through till Saturday the 28th of September across the road in the Masonic Hall. Do please encourage everyone to come along to that. There'll be lots of information. NAC, a wonderful group providing real support and encouragement. We know that loneliness is a huge problem in our society these days, and NAC is there. Whether you're good at knitting or crochet and things or not, you're very welcome to go along on a Monday morning and have a chat, and maybe even learn how to do something if you don't already know. Morning, come on in. I've also been asked to mention that the C word, shoebox appeal, is up and running. Shoeboxes need to be in by the 27th of October. It always seems ridiculously early to have a Christmas shoebox packed so early, but that's the date we need them in. So please get thinking. I know that everybody here are just fantastic at doing shoeboxes. We get hundreds every year, which I'm so proud of. So highlight that. I see there's a load of shoeboxes at the back. And also, it's cross reach. I had open reach in my head, and I knew that was the telephones. I'm getting old. Crossreach Christmas catalogue is out, so it's available at the back, so do please consider supporting that. Somebody's been away on holiday. Who would that be? Oh, me. My first 4 days in Ayrshire were so wet, I think I've got webbed feet. But I then had a couple of days in Crail, so I brought you a postcard from Crail, because the sun shone in Crail. It's a beautiful place. So. But it's really good to be back in amongst you all again. Was that all the intimations, or were there more? Thank you, David. Yeah, Bank Hall service this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And again, everyone's welcome to come along to that. Most of the others are all on the intimations here. Lost and found is the theme of our service today. And isn't it wonderful that the one who finds us is God, God who is love. And we are all God's beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. Let's open our service with some verses from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen. So let's stand and sing our opening hymn, number 127, O Worship the King. always so good to see you. And there's a lot of you here today, aren't there? And I don't know if I can remember everybody's names. Maybe I'll get a bit of help. Well, I start along here. Next to Jane, we've got Ewan. Yeah. And then we've got Kyle.
Yes.
And then we've got one of the many islands. Aaron. Yeah, got Aaron. And we've got Callum. I tend to call you Callum, but yeah. You're Callan. Alex and Hannah. Ah, oh, I know you, don't I? But I'm getting old and my brain doesn't work too well, so I don't always remember names. And we've got Katie, and we've got Ruby, and we've got Heather, and I think we've got somebody new.
Yes, this is Laurel. She's my Aunt Miriam's granddaughter.
Hi, Laurel. It's really lovely to meet you.
And her little brother's up with my Aunt Miriam because he's shy.
I saw your little brother at the beginning. Yeah. Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. I hope you'll enjoy being with us, Laurel. And then we've got, have you got your name written? It's Jack. And we've got Harris. I knew you were an island. Lewis. And we've got Andrew. And a little bird said something to me earlier. Do you know what that little bird said?
No.
That it's Andrew's birthday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you going to be?
Six.
Six. Wow. Andrew's going to be six tomorrow. Could we possibly sing happy birthday? 6 years young tomorrow. Let's sing happy birthday to Andrew. That's lovely. You've got your jacket off. Are you ready to give a speech? Well, you can maybe tell us next Sunday all the presents you get.
Yes, when I'm six.
When you're six, yeah. So I've been hearing that you're doing all sorts of exciting things at Jigsaw, learning about the beginning of the world. Can anybody remember what happened on day one? Would you like to tell me what you... Oh, that was quick, Kyle. Go on then.
He created light and dark.
Oh, God created light. How did he create it? Well, when I read the Bible, it said, God said, let there be light.
Yeah.
And there was light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? If I say, let there be lots of boxes of chocolates in the church, nothing happens. Which shows that I'm not God yet again. Yes.
I wish whatever God says, if God said he wanted like anything, he would get anything. I wish I could do that.
You'd like to be God, would you? Maybe in some ways it would be lovely to just say something and it happened, but then God has lots of other responsibilities as well. Because everything that happens because of what he says is very, very good for everybody and everything. He never does anything that's good for one person and not good for another person. So it's a big responsibility. So day one we got light and dark. What happened on day two? Yes.
He made the ocean and the sky.
The ocean and the sky, yeah. Well, I walked in my weeks up the west coast of Scotland in pouring rain. I'm assured that Ailsa Craig was within sight all the days that we were walking, but we hardly ever saw it because the rain was just pouring down, absolutely soaked. But then my last few days, I went to the east coast. And I walked a wee bit down the east coast and the sun shone there. So I really appreciated the ocean and the sky while I was walking. It's lovely. Yeah. And how did he make the ocean and the sky? Ooh. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you think that had anything to do with him creating the sky and the separation? I think he said something about that as well, and then it was very good. And have you done day three yet? I think you've done day three.
Sun, moon, and stars.
Sun, moon, and stars. Wow, because it would be a strange place if we didn't have the sun, moon, and stars, wouldn't it? And there were the great lights. Yeah.
Australia barely has any rain. So how would they get any clouds if they didn't have any? If they don't have any rain, how would they have any clouds?
That's a really good question. In Australia, they hardly get any rain. So would they have any clouds? And I don't think they get many clouds at all in Australia, because clouds are what provides rain, isn't it? And it protects us from the sun, from burning us. But in Australia, you can get sunburned awfully easily. Although I could have done with a few less clouds on my week's holiday. So do you know what you're going to learn about today? What happened in day four? Yes, Kyle. He did, yes. I might be getting the days muddled up, but he certainly created flowers and trees and all the sort of things that we can eat. Yeah. All the seed-bearing fruits and all the vegetables.
Yeah. Well, it's just that basically everything that God wants something done, he can just say, let there be whatever he wants, and then, boom, it's there.
And it happens, yeah. So now we know what he created and how he created it. Why? Why do you think God made all these wonderful things? Why did he make the earth? Why did he make day and night? Why did he make trees and flowers and vegetables? That's a tough question, isn't it? That's a theological question. There's a big question. I was listening to a minister in America yesterday, and I'm really excited listening to him. His name's Vincent Pizzuto. And you know what his answer to that why question is? It's because every single one of us is gorgeous. God looks down and he looks at every single one of us and he says, you're gorgeous. So I want to give you the very best of gifts. And Lawrence Pizzuto, he's a lecturer as well as a minister, and he spoke to his students and he said, how often does your minister in your church tell you that you're gorgeous? And they all said, never. And he said, well, they should. So I'm going to start telling you that you're all gorgeous, because you are. You're all absolutely gorgeous. I think that, but God thinks it so much more. And that's why he does all that he does for us. And that's why he came as a human being. But we could go on, but I won't. But it's lovely to have you back. And I know that you're off to do exciting things. Anybody want to tell me any of the exciting things you've done in learning about the first few days of creation? Yes, Jack. And who won?
Can't remember.
They had three teams, suns, moons, and stars, and they had races, but can't remember who won. But that's good, because you're all working together as one family. Did you remember something else? No, you've forgotten. Played with torches in the dark. I thought you might have done. Do you know what I did last night? This is something really silly. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I decided to get up But there was no light in the room, and I thought, that's okay, because I know the way around my room. So I walked round the edge of the bed, and I reached out to touch the corner of the bed, and it wasn't there, and I fell over. What a numpty. So if you're walking around in the dark, use a torch. Don't be like your minister. Let's have a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you that you are a God of love, a God who speaks and whatever you wish is created, that you are a God who thinks every single one of us is gorgeous, and that's why you created all the wonders of the world for us. Lord, we thank you for every one of our children here, and ask you to bless them as they continue to learn the exciting story of the creation. And let us say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So the hymn that I've chosen for you to sing before you go off to your lessons is Morning Has Broken. Because you're talking about the first morning, and you might move on soon to the first blackbird. So let's stand and sing together, Morning Has Broken. So as you go out to learn about creation, don't forget that you're all gorgeous. And that includes the teachers. You're just gorgeous. Never forget it. As the youngsters go out to learn about creation in some really fun ways, let us come before God in prayer. think half the church goes down to the hall today. Is there something better going on down there? They obviously think it's going to be better than my sermon. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, you make yourself known to us, not in the trappings of imperial splendor, but as a working shepherd, tirelessly seeking the lost. You are the hope of all who have become lost, following will-o'-the-wisp pleasures, seeking after wealth or power, trapped in the web of our own cleverness, imprisoned in blind self-centeredness. You are the hope of all who have become lost, overwhelmed by poverty or disease, hiding away because we fear rejection, rebelling against the injustices of life, consumed by bitterness or hatred. You are the hope of each and every one of us. You are not deterred by the chaos we create, not deterred by the evil we do, not deterred by our willfulness, our foolishness, our sheer stupidity. Tireless, working, wounded shepherd, ever loving, ever seeking, you alone are our hope and our salvation. Loving, living God, why do you love us so much? How do you find us gorgeous? Lord, help us to stop asking why and simply accept with open hearts your abundant love, compassion, and forgiveness for every one of us. For then we will be able to praise you with elation every morning. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I now invite Jean forward to read from the Bible for us. Our first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, and then our gospel reading is from Luke 15, the first 10 verses.
The Lord's grace to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. The gospel reading, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. I couldn't have a service on that theme without singing the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, hymn 555. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. I'm sure it'll be clear from the Bible readings why the service and the sermon are entitled Lost and Found. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. John Newton penned these words in the 18th century after coming to faith and changing from a lifestyle that included being a slave trader to becoming a curate in a small village and dedicating the rest of his life to serving God. His life and the words of this beautiful hymn echo the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the story of Paul's conversion. They're also true, I'm fairly sure, of many of our lives. I'm sure we can all think of times when we didn't know Christ as well as we do today. Too often, certainly in my experience, our Christian faith emphasizes our behavior, telling us the things we should not do because of our faith, the things we ought to do because we're Christians, the need for us to confess and repent in order to gain forgiveness. But that's not quite what the Bible teaches. John Newton changed his lifestyle as a result of coming to faith, not the other way around. Jesus, as the Pharisees pointed out, welcomed sinners. And as Paul wrote to the young pastor, Timothy, to encourage him, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example. It's all about what Christ did, not what Paul did. And the two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin also emphasize it's the action of the one seeking, not the action of the one who's lost. Now, I don't know how many of you have enjoyed watching the documentary series, This Farming Life. Anybody familiar with it? If you do, you'll recognize the scene that I'm going to describe. One of the farms they focused on is a farm in Shetland, where two young girls have taken on the farm because their dad died very suddenly and very young. And much of their land is surrounded by cliffs and the sea. They can't afford to fence it yet, so sadly a regular occurrence is for a sheep or a lamb to fall over the cliff. And the film showed these two young women going out in a small boat in rough seas to try and rescue lambs or sheep that had strayed too close to the cliff edge and fallen over. Sometimes, wonderfully, they were successful, despite the stupid lamb trying to run away at the last minute and then jumping into the sea. But sadly, they weren't always able to rescue them. But it struck me, as they edged closer to the lamb, they didn't wait for the lamb to admit its faults. They didn't give it a lecture on the stupidity of going too close to the cliff edge. Of course not. They didn't wait for it to apologize for being a stupid lamb. They rescued the lamb as quickly as they could. And this, I believe, gives us a clear picture of how God seeks to rescue us. As Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But just like those lambs on the cliff edge, we often fear God rescuing us. We perhaps still think he's a God of wrath and judgment. So we tend to run away or jump in the wrong direction. But God has infinite patience and immeasurable, unfailing love. I wouldn't be standing here today if he didn't. Here, I confess, no analogy is perfect, and here it breaks down, because God will never force us to accept his salvation. As those young shepherds grabbed the lamb from the sea and bundled it into their wee boat, the lamb didn't have much choice. But also, God never fails. So if we will accept, he will never fail to rescue us. God offers us his hand, his boat, his safe place, but he'll never force us to accept it. Once we do accept God's love, once we open our hearts to it, we begin a journey of transformation. Slowly, slowly, one step at a time, God's love melts our hearts of stone and replaces them with hearts overflowing with love and compassion. As we said earlier in our psalm, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And we know how easy it is for God to create. He just speaks the words. Paul described it this way: the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So it's once we agree, once we accept God's love, then our behavior begins to change as a result of God's grace, his love, and forgiveness. It's all from God, not from us. We're lost like those lost lambs. We're silly sheep. We wander off until God seeks and finds us. Now, in my life, first as a vet and now in ministry, I meet many different people in a wide variety of different situations, and often when terrible things have happened, and they do, people will ask, why me? Why does God allow this? This week I heard an old song, originally written and composed by Chris Christopherson. I hope you can all remember him, can you? First performed by him way back in 1972, it's called Why Me? But the question comes from a much more healthy angle than when it's usually asked of me. And it puts into words what I often ask God. We're going to listen and watch.
Lord,
Laura Jane, for making that possible. As a church, we are a group of people who were lost but now are found. So my prayer is that God will continue to transform us so that we too can seek the lost, the people around us who need to know God's love for them. People who need to know the message of our two parables, that everyone is valuable, precious in God's sight. Everyone is gorgeous in God's sight. And that God loves us before we confess, repent, change our ways. He loves us so that we can have the courage to face our own lostness, our sin, our inner hidden secrets, and be changed, found by his love. Amen. We now have an opportunity, in a very small way, to say thank you to God for that in the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, you give us so much. You see us as gorgeous in your sight. How can we ever begin to repay you for that? And yet you tell us that we can by passing it on, by sharing what we know in our lives of how your love changes us, by sharing that with the people around us. And Lord, one of the ways we do that is through all the groups in our church. And Lord, we thank you for all these offerings which go towards the work of our church here in Forth and throughout Scotland and beyond. So, Lord, we ask that you accept these offerings, along with our praise, our worship, our prayers, and our everyday lives, and use them all for the growth of your kingdom, here in Forth and throughout the world, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A number of years ago, I went to a meeting up in Aberdeen introducing what at that time was a brand new hymn book. But I think we're quite used to CH4 now. We still don't like the weight of it. But this was one of the hymns they taught us, and it's just stayed in my head. I absolutely love it. And even when life's difficult, I come back to this. My life flows on in endless song. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Hymn 565. I'm not sure how familiar it is to us all, so Audrey's going to play it through once completely, and then we'll stand and sing. I trust that our visitors, as well as our regulars, enjoyed receiving a prayer from us at the same time as we're asking you to give your offering I like the giving and receiving coming in parallel. And the prayers are written without my knowledge, and I just love the way that so often they come together with what's in my head and my heart. So I'm going to start our prayers with just reading out the prayer that you've each got. Let us be people who pray, care, and share. Dear God, God of hope, in these times of change, unite our nation and communities. Guide all leaders with your wisdom. Give us courage to overcome our fears and help us to build a future in which all may prosper and share. Fill us with your spirit that we may reflect your light and love to each other and to the world. Loving, living God, we give thanks for all the evidence you provide of your amazing grace and your love which endures forever. We thank you that you are a God who is constantly seeking the lost, and that you are finding us and saving us afresh each day. Thank you that you see us all as gorgeous, as fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, and that is why you so long for us to draw closer to you. Thank you that you are a God who loves us truly, madly, deeply. That's my alarm reminding me it's 12 noon, so as our habit has become, let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll now continue with my prayer. I love hearing everyone saying that prayer together. It unites us as a family of the church. Thank you that you are a God who loves us truly, madly, deeply. And now we bring before you the names of anyone we know who is in need today, in need of knowing that you see them as gorgeous, in need of knowing that you love them, in need of your saving, your compassion, your healing, your forgiveness. In the silence, we offer these people to you, and pray that they and we might be more open to receiving your love. Loving, living God, we thank you that you are always listening, always delighted to hear our prayers, whether they are silent or spoken aloud. or screamed at the heavens. And Lord, we thank you that you indeed answer our prayers, often not in the way that we want or expect, and usually not in the timing that we want. But help us to always trust in you, to cling on to you, the rock, in the midst of the storms, and know that you are a God who loves us, who seeks us, finds us, and knows us as gorgeous. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is a rousing one. There is a Redeemer. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Spirit till your work on earth is done. Hymn 559. Now, as we go out into the week ahead, may we know that we are found. And any time we think we're lost, God is seeking for us because he sees us as gorgeous. And may Christ, our shield, encircle us. Be near, uphold, abide with us. Each day, each night, each dark, each light, within, without, above, below, may Christ your shield encircle us, and may God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, bless us and keep us now and forever.